Although much is made of getting children trained to use the toilet while they're awake, there's still the matter of overnights and nap time. How much longer does it take for kids to be able to control their bladders while they sleep? What can parents do to help continue the dryness from daytime into nighttime? I'm Dr. Deborah Pontillo from HowToHelpMyChild.com, and today we're talking all about potty training during nap time and nighttime. This is Parent Savers, Episode 63.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome again, everybody, to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Parent Savers is your weekly online, on-the-go support group for parents of newborns, infants, and toddlers. I'm your host, John Arreo. Thanks again to all of our loyal listeners who join the Parent Savers Club. These members get all our archived episodes, bonus content after each new show, plus special giveaways and discounts. You can subscribe to our monthly Parent Savers newsletter for a chance to win a membership to our club each month, and that's free to do. Another way for you to stay connected is by downloading our free Parent Savers app, which is in the Google Play and iTunes Marketplace, and it will alert you anytime a new Parent Savers episode is uploaded and it's ready for your listening pleasure. At Parent Savers, we are a group of parents that talk about topics that are of interest to parents of kids up to 3 years old, and we always are joined in the studio by panels of parents, and today we have three of our super parents, we're calling them, in the studio, and these are Scott, Ursula, and Lori, and they've all participated before, and you might recognize them, but we'll go around the room, and we'll do introductions again, and talk about how many kids we have.
I'm Lori Babb. I have two boys. Lorenzo is 5, Marcelo is 2.5, and I'm a local small business owner and educator.
Hi, everybody. I'm Ursula, and I'm 35, and I have two boys. Desmond is 4, and Kellen is 2.
I'm Scott Killian. I'm 36. I'm a certified financial planner. I've got one boy, Alex, and he is 3.
And I'm your host, John Arreal, and I'm continuing the boy theme with the panelists here, and I have three boys. Connor is 6, Whitaker is 4, and Zyler is 2 years old. And I know that we're all eager to talk a little about some potty issues, especially in the beds. But Dr. Pontillo, how about yourself?
Oh, thank you. Yes, so I'm a child psychologist. I'm 38 years old, and I have a 6-year-old girl named Natasha and a 2-year-old boy named Ethan.
Nice. Well, welcome to the show.
Hey, Parent Savers, I'm Sunny. I'm one of the producers here on the show, and today is a special potty training episode. Joining me on the phone is Tim Furman. He's the co-founder of Potty Patrol. Tim, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Tim, tell us a little bit about the Potty Patrol system. How do the diapers work?
Basically, the way the new system works is it helps the children link between cause and effect. And so when the diaper gets wet, it plays Tinkle, Tinkle, Little Star. So it plays a little musical number for them and helps the kids make the connection between cause and effect. And very soon, they figure it out and get potty trained.
That's great. And are the diapers one size fits all? How does the sizing work?
Well, they are. They're a pretty broad size. We just offer the one size, around 20 to 25 pounds. And so pretty close to, say, a size 4 in the grocery store. So, but you know, it works for some kids that are wearing size 3, some kids that are wearing size 5. So it fits right in that range. And, you know, it's pretty broad reach. So most people have been very successful with the size that we've got.
Great. And what are some of the benefits of using the Potty Patrol system?
Well, obviously, it can save you time. It can be a frustrating process. We've got this proprietary technology and helps children learn more quickly, so it saves you time. Obviously, families can spend up to $2,000 a year in diapers, and so it can save you money. And obviously, it can help save the earth even, because once we get out of diapers and they start using the bathroom, there will be far less diapers going into landfills across the country. It's about 49 million diapers a day in the U.S. alone.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, I actually had a chance to test this product myself along with a couple of the Parent Savers bloggers. And I have to say, he was a 2.5-year-old at the time, and it worked really well for him. We didn't have a lot of experience in potty training. We had like one day that was a total disaster. And I said, okay, maybe we're not ready to do potty training yet. And then we used your product, and it was really good, like you said, to be able to tell my son, okay, there's a song playing. I need to do something when there's a song playing. Because sometimes that's a hard connection to make. If they're not used to going to a potty, Well, you know, they obviously don't know that they have to go to the potty when they need to go to the bathroom. And so for my son, he loved the song. We kind of made a game out of it. You know, we sat down and we would play together and hang out together. We'd hear the song, oh, it's time to go to the potty. And then we kind of run off to the potty. And it was really good. I mean, we probably only had a week to maybe 10 days of doing that before he was pretty much potty trained, with the exception of, you know, some pull-ups at nap time and during sleep time. But other than that, this was a really good way for us to, you know, kickstart the process.
I'm super glad to hear that you've had a good experience with it. You know, my my friend and I were both fathers. He's got five children. I've got four. I had a very similar experience as you did. I've got a little guy, and when he's about 2.5 years old, he clearly and quickly made the connection between what he was supposed to do there and figured it out. And it's been fantastic for us. And so we quickly brought this to market so that we could share it with other families. Again, as you mentioned, everyone's going to have different experiences and different stages of readiness. And obviously the biggest key is to adjust to the needs of the individual child. But we found that this is a fantastic product, helps the child figure out how to make that connection between cause and effect. And it's really made the process a lot simpler for a lot of families all across the country. You know, selling it on our own website at pottypatrol.com. And we also sell it at walmart.com. We sell it at amazon.com. Happy to have any of your listeners go there and try it. And if they're interested, they can, you know, join our Facebook or tweet about it or tell anybody. You know, positives or negatives, we're happy to hear what we can do to make it a better product and help as many families out there as possible.
Yeah. Well, Tim, thank you so much for creating this product. I think it could help a lot of other parents out there, especially those struggling with this whole potty training process. It can be very frustrating for not only the parents, but for the kids as well. And I do think this is a product that definitely helps in the process. So thank you. And thank you for being on our show today.
Fantastic. Happy to join you.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's skylightcal.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Today's topic is sleep time potty training, and it's talking about potty training during sleep time, but I have a feeling we're going to be talking about potty training during awake time as well, especially with this group here. And I know that it's one that every family has to go through, and usually if you're talking to any other parents at the playgrounds, I'm sure we all have our own potty stories, which we can share. But today, Dr. Deb Pontillo, the pediatric psychologist from howtohelpmychild.com, and that's with the number two, howtohelpmychild.com. She's going to tell us all about this and the all-important final frontier of potty training, which is nighttime and nap time. So thanks again for joining us, Dr. Pontillo.
Thank you for having me.
So is that a fair way to put it? Is nighttime and nap time kind of the final frontier of potty training?
I actually like it. It's a really good way to put it because it does happen a lot later than does daytime potty training for most kids. But it's a little bit difficult to lump them in the same category just because we know that daytime potty mastery is not really associated with nighttime potty mastery.
Interesting.
So kids typically, they achieve the daytime mastery earlier and it does not coincide with nighttime mastery. Largely because we know that in the daytime, what we're talking about is not just physical readiness. We're also talking about social emotional readiness, communication skills, cognitive development, a little bit of power struggle, which is typical. But nighttime readiness seems to be more largely based on physiological readiness, which develops at each child's own rate.
What do you mean by physiological readiness? Is that like how the body is performing unconsciously, or?
No, it's basically each child's nervous system is built a little bit differently, and okay. It does not seem to be associated with, you know, intellectual development or cognitive development or IQ in any way. It's just that each child's physical nervous system is going to be built different. The bladder has to be mature enough to hold urine for longer periods of time, be able to send the message to the brain to wake up, and a child's got to be able to then have the self-monitoring skills when they're slightly asleep in that light phase of sleep to actually be able to wake up and make the decision to go potty. So
right.
That's an involuntary thing.
But so are kids, you know, that are, you know, say they're 2.5 or 3 years old that are potty training, they physically can't do it is basically
pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, what we know, since we want to talk about daytime potty training, in order for a child to be ready for daytime potty training, we want them to be able to hold urine for 2 hours. And a lot of times people talk about readiness for daytime potty training as a child will stay dry in the diaper for 2 hours or during nap time, because that's often about a 2 hour or 1.5 to 2 hour time. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that's even just a signal that the bladder is then ready to do what you're asking it to do, which is to train it to go potty. But as you understand, of course, nighttime for young children can be, you know, 10, 11 hours. That's a long time for a tiny little bladder.
That's a long time for a grown-up bladder sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a pregnant bladder.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. I think we all get into routines that, mm-hmm. you know, we – like maybe you'll get up at around the same time every night to go to the bathroom, and maybe that changes over time.
That's
but
right.
you know it happens, and so the kids have to have the awareness and the, you know, empowerment to do that.
That's right, absolutely.
So are accidents that kids have? It's all about the brain, then. It's not about, like, you don't want to punish a kid for having an accident at night, right?
Pretty much. And the only exception to that would be, not that you exception to punishment, but the only exception would be, you know, if you've had a child who's mastered nighttime potty training for some period of time and then has some regression and starts having multiple accidents again, mm-hmm. that's, you know, usually a red flag that something else is going on. Either the child's under stress, you know, there's some change in the household, a new baby, or there's something else that is emotionally affecting the child, that negative of attention getting, for example. So you want to pay attention to those accidents. But accidents at the beginning of nighttime potty training, they're part of the process. Yeah.
And so accidents are normal, right?
Accidents are normal. Yeah, they're involuntary. Nighttime accidents are involuntary. They're not, you know, the only situation where I would say, you know, you have an issue is if the child is waking up on their own and clearly has the wherewithal to be able to go to the bathroom and chooses not to, then you have something else on your hands.
For our 4-year-old, he wears a pull-up at night. Mm-hmm. And if he wakes up in the morning, mm-hmm. he'll decide, I get to pee in the pull-up.
That's right.
And then it leaks out on the couch or mm-hmm. on the carpet. And then I get mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get frustrated. And then I struggle with, like, you know, because he should know better when he's awake.
Right.
He's got to think. And I think it's starting to get through to him.
Right.
But that's what you're talking about there.
Right. That's morning
time.
That's exactly. So, yeah, that's a different ball of wax entirely. Yeah. Well,
I remember vividly being a child and, you know, sometime under 6 and waking up in the middle of the night knowing I need to go use the potty. And yet I would almost like dream, like I was too tired to get out of bed, so I would dream that I got out of bed and went to the toilet and did it all, and then I would wake up sometime later wet and be so mad with myself because I like thought that I did it, and yet I was just dreaming it, you mm-hmm. know. And so I don't know if maybe that's something going on with kids too, you know.
Yeah, and one of the tips that I suggest for nighttime potty training is to talk with your child and have a plan about what they want to do if and when they wake up in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. You know, for some kids like you, who probably didn't want to get up out of bed, you know, maybe your child wants a little potty next to their own bed because they don't want to have to, you know, go through the effort of going to find you or going to find the toilet. Or, you know, maybe they want to come and get you, or maybe they want to call for you because they don't want to get out of bed and have you carry them. And that's okay. So figure out, you know, take that out of the equation.
Yeah.
So Dr. Pontello, being that, and I didn't know this, that the kids are actually physically unable to do this up until a certain period of time. So given that, is it then not important to acknowledge, you know, success in the morning or something? Is that just a natural physiological thing? We just go, okay, it's just like breathing and et cetera, et cetera?
That's my preference, just because, you know, a child can feel a lot, you know, that, like they've let you down or, you know, they weren't good. And it's really not something under their control. I think that certainly praising will help for what you were describing, John, or where your son kind of just says willfully, I prefer to just pee myself. You know, then when they don't, you can say, awesome, good job, I'm proud of you. But yeah, if it's in the nighttime and they're dry, I would just say, oh, good, that's good.
So don't make a big deal if they go through the whole night.
No, I mean, it's crazy. I know it sounds really bizarre.
That does sound
bizarre. We all put so much value in potty training as a culture, I think.
Yeah.
And it is something just like breathing and eating. It's really not that big of a deal. And you really don't want your child's self-esteem to be, you know, you're hurt by the fact that they could or could not stay dry when they really have no control over it. So to say, good job, you did a great job, they think, okay, I'm going to try to do that next time for you, Daddy.
Yeah.
And they can't.
But this mm-hmm. readiness is different than what the preschools and such require.
Right.
Okay.
Right, because it sounds like preschools.
It's a daytime thing.
That's correct. And they're not sleeping there.
Well, they vary, but yeah, my preschool wants them potty trained before they can enter it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime in the when they're three. They can be three, but they also have to be potty trained and be able to wipe themselves because the teachers are not able to physically touch them, you know, with their clothes off.
Oh, wow.
So the child needs to be able to get on the potty themselves and wipe themselves as necessary. And then, you know, and then they can help them wash their hands or whatever. So, yeah.
That's a bit of a tangent, but that definitely is a great example of things are different in different schools and different places, because I know that that's definitely, but I know that for our oldest to go to kindergarten, he had to be able to wipe himself, but it wasn't for 3 years old for preschool.
No, three is very early for that.
And, you know, I know morning time is awake time, but I know that I'm right now maybe a little remiss with my second child, because with my first child, when he would wake up first thing in the morning, usually he was dry. So then I would say, okay, great job. I'd take off that pull up or diaper, whatever he had on at night, and we'd go use the potty. And then we'd put maybe training pants on during the day. With my second child, he wakes up so much earlier. And so it's hard for me to kind of wake up myself to have the discipline to get out of bed, check his pants, praise him if it's dry, and take him to the potty. And I'm wondering, am I prolonging this whole process by my own, you know, laziness and not being a morning person? No.
You're not alone in that.
And this early birdness.
Yeah. I can relate to that.
I mean, I can't imagine that. I mean, you've got two kids, and I think for most families, what you're doing with the second one is different than what you're doing with first, because that's reality, you know? Don't think for a second that your younger one's not going to get potty trained because you need to sleep in for an extra hour and a half.
Diapers in college. Oh, it's my
fault. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Okay, no, he's going to be 30. No, absolutely. Don't worry yourself. Take care of yourself, and then you can be a better mother to everybody.
So there's a little birth order difference just in the way that we're treating them. But about gender differences between boys and girls and nighttime potty training?
Well, the general sense is that boys tend to potty train a little bit later. And I think that's possibly more true for daytime than for nighttime. You know, boys just on, and this is a very broad generalization and it's not a very large effect size, but in general tend to be slightly more active, slightly more impulsive, so maybe have less ability to inhibit things, and when they, you know, get very active and involved in things, their attention span may be slightly shorter, so they may not be able to attend to a very fun activity and their body sensations at the same time. But that's a very broad generalization, and I think, you know, it's actually more helpful, you know, if you're thinking about potty training your own child and things aren't going as quickly, don't write it off as because it's they're a boy, because I think more often it's a result of just individual differences. And so just thinking, oh, well, it's a boy and he'll catch up, that's possibly true, but it also could be, you know, there are other things that need to be considered.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some tips for what parents can do to help their kids stay dry at night, as well as to deal with the inevitable accidents that are going to happen. So we'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Today we're talking about nighttime and naptime potty training with Dr. Deb Pontillo. Thanks again for joining us, Dr. Pontillo.
Thank you for having me.
So we talked about that it's a normal developmental thing for kids to – this goes a lot later. But what's the age where you should maybe start to be concerned where if they're not showing – if they're still going to the bathroom at night, if they're like 6, 7, 8?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, about 80 – so around – at 5 years of age, 80% of children should be able to go through the night without accidents. And by age 6, 85%. children should be able to go through the night without accidents. So most pediatricians and psychologists will tend to look at a child who's 6 years old to see if there's any other possible reasons why a child may not be fully mastering nighttime potty training. But before that, it doesn't seem to make sense, just because in so many kids, they're just not ready.
One of the things that we've discovered too, obviously, is that, you know, the closer the kids drink to nighttime, mm-hmm. the more likely the accidents are to happen.
Oh, yes.
When do you cut that? When do you think we should cut that off?
Well, I think, you know, most people would say it's hard for younger children. I wouldn't personally recommend for children under the age of 3 cutting them off at all.
Yeah.
Just because they need to keep hydrated. I mean, right. Obviously don't give them a bottle of apple juice, you know.
Yeah, I hate, or, like, yeah, if my kid asks for, like, a drink of water because they're thirsty, I hate to say no.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I'm trying to night wean, too. So yeah. I still nurse a little bit before bed.
Yeah.
And then the only way for me to really pacify him to, you know, to go to his own bed is to give him his little sippy cup of water.
Yeah.
And so he
can. That starts the cycle.
Right. And so then with my first, there was a moment where we said, okay, no more water before bed, you know, maybe a sip or something, but no more after that. But then we're going to have to wait a while with the second one until he's ready to give up that sippy of water.
Well, but you're doing two things at once. So right now you're trying night weeding. So don't try the nighttime potty training at the same time.
That's
one goal at a time.
Don't multitask.
Right.
That seems like a golden rule.
Yeah, exactly. Because you can't.
Right.
You got two things with conflicting, you know, strategies.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what, for one of our kids, he was doing like so many bad things at night. I think he was like twirling my wife's hair and drinking milk and breastfeeding. And we really had to talk about, okay, we have to take the long view of this because we can't, it's not like I can say tomorrow we need to stop all of this.
Right.
And so you attack each one. And before you know it, it's 4 months later. And yeah, 4 months is a long time, but it's kind of not. And you look back and you say, oh my gosh, do you remember he was doing all those things?
Right.
And now look, he's not doing it. So
right,
I think attacking each thing.
Exactly.
One at a time
exactly. You have to. And then, of course, as your child gets older, you know, you have logic on your side. You can talk with a 4.5, 5-year-old about what happens when you drink water and where it goes and why it's important to make sure you drink your water and stay hydrated during the day, because after 7 o'clock, we don't drink water. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot easier to do when a child's older. It's really hard to explain that to a 2.5-year-old, and I wouldn't do it.
So it's hard to explain anything to a 2.5-year-old. All right. Let's talk about some kind of tips that we've all either learned from going through it or that you've got from a professional perspective. Do you have some tips from a professional perspective on how to deal with the accidents as they happen or cleaning them up? Or I think it might be more fun if we kind of anecdotally go around the room and share some of the ideas.
About accidents and cleaning them up?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, before coming in this morning, my husband was delighted to find my two-year-old with, I guess he had stripped off his diaper and poured his poo-poo on the floor. Oh, I mean, he was quite proud of himself, actually. And then he proceeded to pee onto it. And we have this, you know,
there
like
the easy wipe up.
You know, and then the icing on the cake. Oh. And of course, you know, my husband comes in and his first reaction is like, oh, what did you do? I'm so mad. And you know, Ethan kind of looks up at him, kind of amused. But I took it off. You know,
right.
It's not supposed to be in the diaper. I took it off.
Well, so how do you balance? Well, so what advice do you have for balancing that frustration that you have with, oh my God, he pooed on the carpet again, with encouraging them to not do that, but also not punishing it?
Well, I think, you know, it really depends on the situation. And I think my husband and I quite frankly differed on this one. My opinion is I wanted to make sure that my son understood the emotional reaction that we were having, because that's one of the most important things for potty training during the daytime, is to make sure that your child is eager to please you. If they're not eager to please you and they're kind of more in their own world, they're not going to be motivated to potty train. So I wanted him to look at my face and look at my eyes and know that that did not make me happy. And that meant that I had to clean up. Now, I didn't choose to punish him or put him in his crib or anything like that, because I just felt that that was a little bit harsh. He's very young for that. It's not like he was 3, 3.5, 4, and he knew already, like I've told you many times before. This was kind of like a novel thing where he felt proud of himself. But I did say, you know, poopy goes in the potty, and I would have wanted him to kind of help me clean it up and put it in the potty where it should be. Now, if this were to occur repeatedly and it kind of became a game, and you can tell this because if a 2-year-old does this and looks up and giggles and you look mad and they still laugh, then I think it's a time to say, okay, you need to spend 2 minutes in your crib.
because that's about something else. That's not about potty training. That's about seeing if they can get a rise out of you.
So how'd you clean it up?
My husband did it because I was getting ready to come here.
I said, I got to go to Parent Saver. Parent Saver saves
the day. I really have this obligation. I can't be late. Bye-bye.
All right, what are you guys doing at night right now with your boys? Are they in pull-ups?
Or yes, but the five-year-old, I'm amazed because he potty trained pretty early, like 2.5 or something.
Yeah.
And but the nighttime is just going on and on. Right. So I am wondering. I've been hesitant to get like a mattress cover because of the toxicity issues with plastic off-gassing and all this. So I'm really concerned about that. So I'm like, maybe a wool blanket. I've heard wool blankets can absorb. But
here's what we did. Because you get these mattress covers that are the waterproof mattress covers, right? And when they do have an accident, washing those things is crazy. And you have to dry them like 3 or 4 times too. And then they get worn out. And they're really hard to put on. So I realized that they sell waterproof fabric at the fabric store. So we went and bought, a couple yards for each bed in our house. You know, you can go usually like when we got it on sale, it's like $3 or $4 a yard. So for like $6, you get. And it's the perfect size for the bed. It's 3 feet wide, and then you get 6 feet long. And we got one for each of our beds. And so we have the waterproof mattress cover, but then we also have all these pieces of waterproof fabric that we just put on each bed so that if there is an accident, all you got to do is wash that piece of waterproof fabric, and it catches it unless it's got moved around. So that's really helped us with dealing with when the accidents do happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you considered putting a pull-up over the underwear so that if accidents happen, it's caught?
Pull-up over the underwear. Well, what I've thought about is if I just take the diaper off completely and then he starts to actually feel the wetness in the bed, he'll start to, because I think he is aware and he has, woken up sometimes dry, but it's not consistent. And he's like so excited. Wow, look, but so I don't know. I don't know about, I think just getting rid of the diaper entirely, but then I just have to,
you
I guess
to
I've been lazy and tired. I'm tired more. I've been very busy with other things. But the 2.5-year-old, oh my goodness, he doesn't ever almost wet his diaper at all. So that's a real difference between the two of them. He's been going dry for quite a while now, but I still do put it on because sometimes but one thing I wanted to actually bring up, and maybe we don't have time to talk about it, but is I have heard food allergies can make I've experienced with myself bladder issues with food allergies. And so, making my bladder less strong, basically weaker. And so then I know that my 5-year-old has those. So I'm thinking, actually I did get them tested and we're waiting to hear about
that. What foods cause that, if I can ask?
Well, I mean, any kind of food allergy or maybe any other kind of physical allergy can cause weakened muscles. And I guess the bladder is one of those places that it happens. He has a wheat gluten thing and I don't know what else. We just got him tested. So I'm hoping that maybe if we address those more rigidly or whatever strongly we can get, he might just suddenly his bladder is okay at night or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he's 5. So he's still, he's 5, isn't he?
Yeah. So it could be just normal.
Yeah. I mean, it could be just normal.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, 85% of 6-year-olds. So that means 15% are not.
Right.
My brother, I hope he's not a parent, so he probably won't be listening to this because he'd be mortified. But he wet the bed for a long, long, long time. And my parents tried everything. They had this one contraption that you put under the sheet, and it had like these sensors, an alarm would go off when it got wet. And then that didn't really work. And so we just got in the habit of whoever's going to bed later, and this went through until I think he was in high school. As long as I lived at home with him, he's 2 years younger than I am. Whoever went to bed last made sure that they woke him up and took him to go potty.
Yeah, that's what we do.
But the problem was sometimes I would just say, okay, it's time to go to the bathroom, and then I'd take off. He would sleepwalk because he didn't really wake up then. And so then sometimes in the morning we'd find him like curled up on the floor down in the kitchen or other places.
Yes.
Or he would think that the houseplant was the toilet or whatever. So we had to I hope he's resolved this for himself now, but we have to wake him up, take him to the bathroom, and take him back to his bed, and then he wouldn't, soil his own bed.
But that kind of shows, I think, too, that it's not a conscious issue of what's going on at nighttime.
That's right.
That there's some different wiring going on that has to work itself out.
Some kids will sleep through a train going through their room. And those are the kids where you're probably going to need to be waking them up 1 or 2 times a night every night for a while. Because it's impossible to get them to wet, like your brother.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was walking to the bathroom, he wasn't alert and wakeful.
No, he was. And he would also, have these he would sleep talk and sleepwalk, and he would appear to be awake. His eyes would be open and he'd talk to you, but he was clearly not in this reality. So, yeah.
You know, for us, we, you know, we cloth, you know, we were cloth diapering. So for nighttime, it's just a wool, you know, it's just a prefold with a woolie over the top, similar to,
I don't use cloth diapers. So what's a prefold?
It's just a piece of cloth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's folded and, you know, over.
Is it in a special nighttime way? Is there a special nighttime?
No. I mean, we used to double up and use two of them, but now we just use one. And he's, you know, we really haven't been doing much. It's, you know, we've been doing a little bit of the praise thing, but it doesn't really feel right, because it does feel like a physiological thing. So I've just sort of let that, I'm letting that go right now. He's waking up pretty much dry. You know, he's happy about it. You know, he's, but yeah. I don't know.
I'm having trouble wrapping my head around not praising him for waking up dry.
Well, I mean, like
I want to do that so bad.
Well, you can see if they feel good about it, mirror that. Yeah. If he feels like he's proud of it, say, awesome, I'm really proud of you. But you just have to be careful about saying things like, you know, good job, like they're doing it for you.
Because they'll feel like they failed you. It's something they can't.
You can also ask them. You can say, how does that feel? You know, and of course they're going to say, oh, that's good.
Yeah, because did they really fail? If they, you know, if it's a physiological thing, did they fail in waking up? You know,
right? No, it's a good point.
Scott's a hard curmudgeon dad. Yeah, good job. Whatever.
On to the next. All right.
Well, thanks so much, Dr. Pontillo, for joining us and talking about potty training. For more information about this or any of our panelists or Dr. Pontillo and her website, please visit the episode page on parentsavers.com. We'll continue the conversation for members of our Parent Savers Club with bonus content after the show. Dr. Pontillo will tell us more about some different types of sleep trainers. For more information about the Parent Savers Club and how to join, visit our website, parentsavers.com. Before we wrap up today's show, here's blogger David Vienna sharing the realities of parenting from his blog, The Daddy Complex.
Hi, Parent Savers. This is The Daddy Complex. I'm David Vienna, father of twin boys, and if my experience has taught me anything about parenting, it's that I know nothing about parenting. Once your baby becomes a toddler, you will never be on time again, ever. Not an exaggeration. Your friends will simply assume that when you say you'll be somewhere at 10 a.m. on a Monday, it means 11:30 a.m., and that's if things go well. If not, it means Thursday. You will also learn how to commute to work at speeds that would make a top-fuel dragster look like a radio flyer. And if you think you're too organized for this to happen, trust me, it applies to pretty much everyone, because even militantly anal clock watchers will experience this often enough to either adapt or go insane. My wife and I used to battle to get the boys through the morning routine. Wake up, go potty, dress for school, eat breakfast, get in the car, and depart. As my mother-in-law says, it's not rocket surgery. The problem for us and other parents is any number of these steps could, and inevitably do, take much longer than planned. For example, whether or not our son Boone decides to spend 15 minutes on the potty remains a wild card. Why do these seemingly simple steps take so long? Pick any combination of the following choices, and for parents of twins or triplets, multiply it. Refusing to eat. Wanting to be fed by one of us. Wanting to be held by one of us rather than getting dressed. Arguing why Go Diego Go should be watched. Running and or screaming. Unhappiness with choice of clothing, even if said child picked it out. Unhappiness with the choice of breakfast, even if said child picked it out. More running and or screaming. Random and sometimes imagined injury sustained while running and or screaming. Hunting for a specific toy that was absently flung across the room the previous night. Impromptu game of hide and seek. Conversation about whether or not giraffes dance. Potty accident. Puking caused by unforeseen illness, trying to ride the dog like a Shetland pony, simple lollygagging, even more running and or screaming. And adjusting the timeline to start the process earlier doesn't help. It just gives your child more time to mess around. Toddlers and preschoolers simply have too much to do to adhere to your randomly chosen schedule. Just getting in the car takes 20 minutes, unless, of course, you've allotted 10 minutes for it, in which case it will take anywhere from 20 minutes to a fortnight. This may sound absolutely infuriating, but my wife and I have hit upon a fantastically simple solution. We made peace with being late. We go to bed each night knowing the next morning will feature us barking instructions and requests at the boys over and over, followed by a mad dash to work. And because of that adjustment, we sleep better and enjoy our mornings more. Sometimes we even prolong that conversation about dancing giraffes. Check out more of my terrible advice at thedaddycomplex.com, the Huffington Post, or on Twitter at thedaddycomplex. You can also view episodes of Fighting with Babies, my puppet web series for parents, at thedaddycomplex.com/FWB. And be sure to keep listening to Parent Savers for more fatherly tips.
That wraps up today's episode of Parent Savers. We appreciate you listening. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals for Expecting Parents, and our show, The Boob Group for Moms Who Breastfeed Their Babies. And if you aren't already listening to those, or you are already enjoying them, make sure to tell your friends about it. And you can even tell random people at the park that you see that are with their kids or that are pregnant. I just did that the other day, and they're usually actually really receptive to it. They're interested in checking out podcasts, and I know people are usually interested in listening to new things. So help us spread the word. Go to our Facebook page and check us out as well. So thanks so much for joining us. This is Parent Savers, empowering new parents.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.